Thought for sure we were going to have an altar call tonight and I'd get out of this, but sometimes it doesn't go the way you want it to, I guess. But if you pray for me, I'm sure we'll get through it. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this service so far. Thank you for the way you've blessed and helped. Pray that you be with me now. You see the thoughts that you've given me, and we know you give them to me for a reason, that they might be a help to somebody. We pray that you'd guide my mind, clear out the things that don't need to be there, help me to bring forth exactly what you'd have me to bring, help the ears of our listeners to get out of it what you'd have for each and every one of us, and for all that you do, we'll give your name to praise. Amen. I'd like to start out tonight by saying that I'm thankful for the two witnesses of the church, the Word and the Spirit. You know, before Brother Steve even came to me and asked me to bring the message tonight, I had begun to have thoughts and I felt really impressed that I was going to be the one to speak and that he'd even be just me. I didn't. That's just the way I felt that the Lord was leading. And he came to me Wednesday night and said that's exactly how he was feeling. So I'm thankful for that the Spirit can witness on both ends. Because when you get up here, or you even bring a message in young people, it's good to know that you're the one that God wants up there. Because when you're not, it sure is a lot harder to prepare for something. It's a lot harder to do something. So it's good to have that that feeling in your mind that you know that God's given you the message. So I'm thankful for that. I'm also thankful for the Word because it's hard to put together a message when you don't have these scriptures that come to your mind that give you exactly what to say. So I'm thankful for both of the witnesses tonight. It's a big help putting together something like this. But that's not the message tonight. That was just a little side note. But like I said, I started receiving these messages about a week ago. It was actually when Brother Donald was speaking the other night. He was speaking on the thought of transhumanism. And as he was bringing that message, it kind of started to stir up some thoughts in my mind. So if you'll turn to Romans, the 11th chapter, Romans 11 and 22, we're just going to read one verse there for our text tonight. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. As I mentioned, I began receiving these thoughts as Brother Orr was speaking the other night. And that thought of transhumanism obviously stirred a lot of dark thoughts in all of our minds, I'm sure, about where our world's going and how far they are drifting away from God. And current events in the news are enough to depress us. And we're living in a time where we're surrounded by a lot of evil, a lot of sin, disease. There's death, war, famine, you name it. It seems like it's in our world right now. It seems like there's something new every day. And through the midst of all these horrible things, we often hear the question raised, why does God let these things happen? Or if there really is a God, why do all these things happen? So that's the thought I'd like to speak on tonight, is why does a good God allow bad things to happen? So I'm sure many of us have heard that question or a question similar to that. It's common to hear that type of question, but maybe raised by an atheist or somebody in the world that's trying to argue that the evil in our world is somehow God's fault. And maybe you've asked that question yourself. It's all right if you have, because I think it's a fair question. It's normal for Christians to ask, why did God let these things happen to me? And when we face a hard place, oftentimes that's what comes to our mind. It's fair to ask God those questions, but I believe it's a question we want to know the answer to. Because somewhere along the line, you're going to run into something that's really going to test your faith. And the devil is going to be there to press you, tell you that God's not really there, because if he was, all these bad things wouldn't happen to you. He's going to tell you if God was really good, he wouldn't let all this evil in the world. So it's good to ask that question and somehow figure out why God lets these things happen. So we want to examine that question tonight. Why does a good God allow bad things to happen? First of all, we want to make it clear that God is good. Many verses throughout the Bible express this to us. And one book especially does that is the book of Psalms. So we're going to read a few scriptures from the book of Psalms. Psalms 105. It says, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Psalms 145 and 9. Says, "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." That scripture says his tender mercies are over all of his works. That even includes those works that seem to try us, those works that seem maybe to not be what we want them to be, those bad things that happen in our life. His mercies are over those works as well. Psalms 34 and 8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. God is good. He is holy. He is kind, loving, and gracious. But many times people don't know that God is good because they haven't tasted him. I might be telling on myself here a little bit with this example, but I used to think shrimp was nasty and then actually tried it and I love shrimp. How many times is that true for us? We say some type of food's nasty, but when you actually try it, maybe it turns out to be one of your favorite foods. And sometimes people are the same way with God. They say God's not any good. They say maybe he's not even there. But once they actually taste them, they find out it's quite the opposite. So, you know, you've heard the ideas of what people have of God. They say he's some old gray-headed man up on a mountain just looking to strike us all down, or whatever their idea of God is. But my question to them is, how can you say God is not good if you've never tried him? You say, how do you taste God? Well, the second part of that verse goes on to say, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. If you've never trusted in God the Bible way, you can't tell me that he's not good. You say, what's the Bible way? The Bible way is to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. If you've ever fully acknowledged and trusted him in your life, if you have never fully acknowledged and trusted him in your life, I'm sorry, but you can't tell me that God is not good. I've trusted him. I know many others have trusted him, and they'll be there to tell you. We'll all tell you the same thing, that God is good, that he tastes so good. But you have to taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, we go through hard times. That doesn't mean God's not good, because he won't fail to bring us through those hard times. So we've established that the Lord is good, that his ways are just, and he wants the best for each and every one of us. His desire is not to inflict pain on us or to strike us down. When he brings pain and suffering, he has a plan for it, and we hope to establish that through this message. None of us can understand God's thoughts. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, or neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We can never fit into one message all the reasons that God has for allowing bad things in our lives. Because many times we might not even actually know the reason for those things. But too many times we as humans try to reason it out in our own minds and our own thoughts, but we can't do that because we'll just make ourselves confused. You won't accomplish anything because God's thoughts are so much higher than our own. But because we can't see the full picture, God can see the full picture. And so when we can't see the full picture and we try to work it out on our own, oftentimes we turn around and try to place the blame on him as if he doesn't know what he's doing when he allowed those things in our lives. But we don't have to reason it out in our own minds because sometimes we're just not going to know. But God gave us the word, one of those witnesses I spoke of earlier. And if we want to at least establish the fact that when God allows bad things into our lives, that they're not there to tear us down, that they're not there to do bad for us, I think it will help us. We might not know the exact reason for the bad thing in our lives, but the word lets us know that everything he does is for good. Like I said, the word can help us understand God's mind. So if we want to understand God, that's where we need to begin looking. So let's turn back to the beginning. Let's go back to Genesis, the first chapter. And we want to take a look at how evil entered this world. Just one verse there, Genesis 1:31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Obviously, we know that God created everything. And way back in the beginning, he looked at everything he had created, and his response was that it was very good. No doubt the Garden of Eden was very beautiful. I believe it was probably the closest thing to heaven that we have on that we had on this earth. And we won't take the time to read it, but Genesis 2nd chapter, verses 8 through 15, gives us a description of that garden. And I believe it's probably graced with the most beautiful of flowers. Everything was probably extremely healthy. And most importantly, God's Spirit walked around the garden. However, the Garden of Eden itself wasn't heaven, because in the midst of that garden, there was someone there who has never been nor never will see the inside of heaven. If you turn over to the 3rd chapter, verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." As I said, Eden was wonderful, but it wasn't heaven because Satan was there. And I might say here that Satan never fell from heaven. There's people that teach that. There's people that believe that. But when I die, I want to go to a heaven that I never have to worry about that devil again. And if he was there one time, what's to say he can't come back another time? You know what I mean? So that doctrine is foolishness. So we read here in the beginning where the devil came from. God created the devil, and he was present in the Garden of Eden. And as I was preparing for this message, I thought of Sister Arlene's testimony the other day, how she mentioned that Alex's reaction when he was just a little boy, and somebody mentioned when they were preaching that God created the devil. And he had a surprised look on his face. He said, "Why would God do that?" And I believe that goes right along with the message tonight of why does God allow bad things to happen? Because sometimes we wonder that. Why did God create the devil? He's the main reason for all the evil behind all the evil in our world. So even to a child, that raises an eyebrow. It causes them to wonder, why would God do that? But we read the scripture that when God looked over everything that he had made, he said it was very good. And I believe that statement also included the devil. I'm not saying that the devil is good, but because John 8:44 lets us know that the devil is a murderer and has been from the beginning. The devil has been evil from the beginning. The devil was the only thing that God created with the sole purpose of being evil. Even the word evil is in his name. God did not create the animals to sin, and man is not born with some type of inbred sin, like some people believe. So why did God say everything was good when no doubt whenever he looked over that, he was seeing the devil as well? Well, I believe when God said everything was very good, he was saying that because everything was made in accordance to his divine will and plan for the world and for mankind. Sometimes we look at our life and we no doubt think, how could this possibly be good? And that certain situation in itself might not be good. The thing that we're looking at might not be good. Just as the devil in himself is not good, but when that certain situation is put in our life according to the will of God, the full picture is good. As God looked over the full picture of everything he created, he could say that it was good because it was just what he wanted it to be. So although the devil was evil, God created him for a purpose. So this brings me to my first reason for why God allows bad things to happen. God allows bad things to happen because he is fair. As we have already discussed, God created the devil. He's the influence behind all the corruptness in our world. But he has allowed the devil to do bad things because God is fair. God does not force a man or woman to serve him. He created the devil to give us a choice. If we continue to read in Genesis, the 3rd chapter, we'll see exactly why God created the devil. The serpent was there to tempt Adam and Eve. He gave them a choice of whether they wanted to obey God or to go their own way. You see, we would not consider God to be good if he wasn't fair. So God is fair to mankind. He gave man a choice to what they want to do. He's a gentleman. He's not going to force his way into your life. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." So the devil was created to give man an alternate way to go if they so chose. But God is fair. He has set before us two ways and allowed us to make the choice for ourselves. He is so fair, he not only gave us two options, he even told us where each of those options would go. Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, verse 15, says, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil." If you drop down to verse 19, it says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." Now, I don't say anything to hurt anybody tonight, but I wonder how many times in our lives we face a difficult circumstance caused by our own selves. I have a hard time having pity on someone sometimes when they're going through something in their life that they wouldn't have to go through if they wouldn't have went exactly what God told them to do, if they wouldn't have went out into willful disobedience to God. Sometimes it's hard to have pity on somebody when they do that. You know, I don't wish to see anybody go through hard times, but it's even harder to have pity on someone when they've been told what they're supposed to do and they blatantly disobey God, disobey all the godly counsel that they've been told in their lives. So sometimes bad things happen because God was fair to give you a choice and you decided to put your own self into that position. When we read the scripture earlier, and God made it very clear, he set before us life and death, blessing and cursing. And he'll let you choose the path that you want. And so whenever you choose that path, don't turn around and place the blame on him when bad things come into your life. When you disobey God and marry an unsaved person he said not to marry, or when you take a job that moves you away from the church, or you begin taking a drink or drug that you know is going to destroy your health and your life, don't turn around and blame God when those things happen. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:29, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, and they that go to seek mixed wine." I wonder how many times in our lives we have wounds without cause. In other words, I wonder how many times we put ourselves into situations that we didn't even have to go through. We went there because of our own bad decisions. Isaiah 1:19-20 says, "If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." So I believe a lot of hardship and suffering in our lives can be avoided simply by obeying God and obeying godly counsel. Samson knew not to mess around with Delilah, but he kept playing around with her. And in the end, he lost his eyes, he lost his strength, and he was made a laughingstock in front of a bunch of people. And all that misery could have been avoided if he just would have done what he knew he was supposed to do. So remember, sometimes God allows bad things to come in our lives, not because he is bad, but because he is fair. He is good. He lets you choose the way that you want to go. The second reason we want to bring forth tonight of why God allows bad things to happen is God allows bad things to happen because he is long-suffering. And all of the reasons I bring tonight, you'll find that they're good characteristics of God. It's not God allows bad things to happen because he loves violence. It's things like because he is long-suffering, because he is fair. And as I prepared this message, I thought of the recent events that have been going on in our country. And I'm sure the thought that comes to many people's minds, why does God continue to allow all these bad things to happen? Why didn't he just put a stop to all of this? But the scripture came to my mind found in Ecclesiastes, the 8th chapter, verse 11. "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." See, God is fully capable of putting an end to evil in this world. Whenever he sees fit, he can do it. He did it with Ananias and Sapphira, right? The moment that they lied to the apostles, he struck them dead. But most of the time, God delays sentence against an evil work. And why does he do that? Well, 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 9, lets us know, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God is not willing that any of us should perish. He desires to see all men come to repentance and to be saved. Because of this, he is long-suffering. He continues to allow evil people to do evil things, not because he can't do anything about it, not because he likes to watch us suffer due to the sins of others. It is because he is not willing that any should perish, and he's long-suffering, giving them a chance to repent. So don't forget about the first part of that scripture, though. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise." There's a coming judgment, and at some point, everyone will have to pay for the works that they have done. So just because God allows evil, it doesn't mean he overlooks it. Once again, God is fair. He will let people choose to do evil if that's what they want. We should all be thankful for the fact that God is long-suffering. We should be thankful that God does not always execute judgment speedily, because where would we all be if he did? I realize that not all the bad things in our life are caused by sin and disobedience, and those who are obedient still face hardship. But let's not put ourselves through unnecessary hardship because we can't follow God's instruction. We have covered the fact that God is fair. He has given men the ability to choose the path that they want to take. And God in his infinite wisdom could see that mankind would choose to sin. Romans the 5th chapter, verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." But God is so good, he didn't let the story stop there. He provided a remedy for sin. However, that remedy for sin didn't come without sorrow. Even the remedy to bring us back to him, that we chose to go our own way and take ourselves away from God, he had to use sorrow to bring us back to him. So this brings us to our third reason. God allows bad things to happen because he is love. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life." So God so loved us that he gave his one and only Son to come live, die on this earth to be the remedy for sin that we had decided that we wanted. He watched his Son go through agony, tears, and blood. He had to turn his back on Jesus when he became sin and took on the sins of the whole world. So he allowed this all to happen, not because he is bad, not because he wanted his Son to see his Son go through all these horrible things. He did it because he loved us. And he wanted to create a way back to him because man decided that they wanted to go their own way. God allowed such a terrible thing to happen to his own Son, not because he wanted to see him suffer. The motive behind it was love. Sometimes God allows bad things to come in our life because he loves us. The things he allows us to go through might not seem good on the outside, but if we could see behind it, we could see what is driving that bad thing in our life as a motive of love. I thought of Joseph. Joseph was a very righteous person, but that didn't mean he didn't face a whole lot of difficult things in his life. He was sold into slavery by his own brothers. He was falsely accused, thrown into prison for something he was not guilty of, and it seemed every time that something might break his way, it failed. But through it all, Joseph kept the right attitude with God. He didn't blame God for his misfortune, but he stayed true, and in the end, he was able to say, as we can find in Genesis 50 and 20, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." God had a plan for Joseph's life, but that plan involved bitter heartache for a number of years. Behind all that heartache, God had a plan to set Joseph in second command to Pharaoh and to put him in place to save the lives of many people. If we could only see the plan God is trying to fulfill through our hard times, I feel we would be slower to throw the blame towards him and slower to give up on the purpose which he's trying to work through us. And what about Job? He too faced many hard times. Yet the Bible says in Job 1:22, "In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." And the end of Job's life was more blessed than the beginning. Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job was able to keep the right spirit through the trials because he had the right spirit before the trials. You can't expect to praise God when you're going through a hard time if you're not where you need to be before that hard time even comes. The Bible says that Job was perfect and upright, and I believe in order for you to stay perfect and upright in the trials, you need to have it settled before that trial even comes your way. So these two men that we mentioned, Joseph and Job, they were upright and righteous, but that did not exclude them from experiencing bad things. The difference was the bad things that God allowed into their lives were not meant to destroy them. When God punishes somebody for sin, it's meant as a payment for their sins. But when you're serving God, those things aren't meant to tear you down, so to speak. They're meant to make you stronger. And just as they were in Joseph and Job's lives, they were meant to bring them to a better. They're meant to bring us to a better place. The motive behind those places is love. So as I've already mentioned, our thoughts are not God's thoughts. We may never see the purpose that God has for allowing bad things to happen to us, but the Bible is full of promises and has assured us, as long as we are serving God, that he's making all things work together for our good. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." So what are some things that God may be trying to work through our suffering? And like I said, I can't tell you maybe the reason that you're going through your suffering, because I can't see what God's saying. But the Bible can give us maybe just a little idea of the good things that God wants to work even through our suffering. So as we mentioned with Joseph, God may be trying to use your situation to bring about salvation in someone's life. And we'll read that scripture again that we already read, Genesis 50 and 20. It says, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass that as it is this day to save much people alive." So sometimes we go through things to be a witness to others that God's got a better way, that he can bring us through those hard times, and it might bring salvation to somebody's life. God may be using your trials to strengthen your faith. 1 Peter 1 and 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God may be trying to give you more patience. James 1 and 3 says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." And by increasing your faith, patience, God may be trying to perfect you. If you drop down to the next verse, James 1 and 4 says, "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Your hard times may just be a stepping stone to bring you to a better place. Romans 8:18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." I don't know the reason for your suffering, but I do know that if you are serving God, your suffering is not in vain. He has a perfect purpose for the work he is doing in you. If you would, turn to Jeremiah, the 18th chapter. We're going to begin at verse 1, Jeremiah 18 and 1. "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise, and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine, O house of Israel." We must remember that we are the clay and that God is the potter. It says in verse 4 that the vessel was marred. In other words, the vessel was bruised, it was flawed, it was tainted. So the potter turned it around and made it into a completely different vessel. And that vessel that he made it into was one that he saw fit to make it into. I believe God is still asking us the same question that he was asking there in verse 6 when he said, cannot I do with you as this potter? God wants to form us into a beautiful vessel, but we know from Ecclesiastes that he only does beautiful things in his time. We must not become impatient with the work that the potter is doing in our lives. We must trust him to make us as it seems good to him to make it. We have discussed several reasons why God allows bad things to happen. We want to consider one more reason why God allows bad things to happen. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Beginning in verse 23. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." So the last reason we want to give tonight is God allows bad things to happen because he is the judge. I think many times we as humans, we fall into a place where we get comfortable. And the sinner may reach a place where they get used to the long-suffering of God that I mentioned earlier. They may forget the punishment for their sins is coming, even though it's not given now, even though it's not executed speedily. Sometimes we forget that the punishment is coming for our sins. The saint may become used to God's goodness in our life and forget that we must continue to strive to enter in. Our scripture provides a warning to us all not to become comfortable, but to remember that we must one day stand before God, the judge of all mankind. And as we approach that day, we should strive even the more to be accepted of God. If we are not careful, we can develop an attitude that says, why would a good God punish somebody in hell? Certainly God wouldn't do that. Right? No. Our title tonight is, why does good God allow bad things to happen? Sometimes we can put the bad things in our physical lives completely out of proportion. But the absolute worst thing that can happen is that God can allow somebody to spend the ceaseless ages of eternity in a devil's hell. As we have said, God allows bad things to happen because he is fair. God has given us the ability to choose our own path, and if you choose sin, he will ultimately give you what you want. God is fair to give us a choice, and has even let us know the consequences of each path. We've already said that many times our own disobedience causes us to go through bad things, and this is the ultimate punishment for to receive for our sin. So we have said that God allows bad things to happen because he is long-suffering. God allows bad things to happen because he doesn't wish that anyone should perish, and he's extending mercy toward them. We covered the fact that God allows bad things to happen because he is love. God sent his son to die a sorrowful death because he desired to restore our relationship with him. Let's look back at verses 28 and 29 in our scripture that we just read. It says, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. In the Old Testament, a person would die without mercy if they committed sin. If you drop down to 29, it says, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot of the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite the spirit of grace. So as we said, God is love. He sent his son to die for us. And when we decide that we don't want that love, that we don't want his son to cover our sins, his son's blood to cover our sins, how much more sore shall our punishment be if we disregard that fact than even those in the Old Testament who God striked dead right then when they committed the sin. Verse 31 tells us it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. So we don't want to get to the point where we think God's good, he's not going to punish us in hell. I believe that there's people in this world, even religious people, that have reached the point where they've just gotten comfortable and they think, certainly God wouldn't do that. He wouldn't punish us in hell, would he? But the good news is we can make it right here before we even get to the judgment day. So if you're not where you need to be, get it right now. Don't try to take it with you because it's not going to work. God may be good, but he'll still allow a bad thing to happen even in eternity if that's the way that you chose you wanted to go. So we've tried to bring forth several reasons tonight why God allows bad things to happen to us. We don't know all the reasons why God allows bad things to happen, but no matter the case, God is still good. The reason behind it we can find in the Bible. If God's punishing sin, if God is just trying to perfect the saint, he's fair, he's long-suffering, he's love, and he's the judge. Instead of trying to figure out why we're experiencing bad things, I believe it's more important that we examine ourselves and how our attitude is towards those bad things. Are we blaming God in the bad times, or are we thanking him in the bad times? Sometimes we like to turn around, place the blame on God, where God's trying to do something good in our lives. So, which side of the coin are you on? Are you experiencing bad things in your life because you put your own self there? Or are you experiencing bad things because you're saved and God's just trying to make you better? So think about it. If there's something in your life that needs to be taken care of, something that's not what God wants it to be, you can get it taken care of tonight, and you don't have to deal with the punishment anymore.